We are here in the Bahamas, Stacey.
Yes,
at the World Credit Union Conference, and we're having a gathering within the conference here at the Underground Collision.
Yeah.
And you just got through talking up there.
I did.
I know. You were on a roll up there for
sure.
I'll let you give a quick overview of what you talked about, and then we'll ask some questions.
Talk about how do you have legacy continue, and what are some top tips that I would suggest? And one of the things I really, really strongly emphasized was to really focus on people who are on fire for their credit unions, people who really have a heart for their credit unions, and they want their credit unions to grow, they want their credit unions to do well, and they're willing to go the extra mile to make that happen.
Those are the people you want, right?
Those are the people you want. Right. Those people who are willing to invest the time, the energy, and to make the sacrifice and the commitment to really make things happen at the credit union.
How do you nurture those people? How do you get them to go to the next level and get into the executive positions and things like, or even on the board like you were talking about?
Sure. So first thing is to identify those people, right? Okay. Those are people that are telling their stories. Those are people that are showing up. Those people that are staying late. Those people that are raising their hands. They're present. They are making the commitment to be there. I mean, just being there sometimes is even half the battle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with after work meetings, with, you know, conferences near and far. You know, you have to journey quite a distance sometimes to get to what you need to get done. So those are people that you notice who are there repeatedly, and they are making a commitment, and they're using their presence to say, I am here and I'm willing to invest in this credit union. And then once you identify those people, simply approach them. You know, everyone I feel like is really approachable. I mean, even this evening, like after the talk, there was a gentleman outside who saw the crowd, and he wanted to know what was going on. And he said, I'm interested. I want to join a credit union. How do I make that happen? I'm from New York. And someone came and tapped me and said, aren't you from New York? And I said, yes. And she pulled me over and we had a conversation, and I spoke to the gentleman and I said, you know, let's connect after this. I gave him my card. I said, you know, I can tell that you really want to belong to a credit union. I can tell you want to invest in a credit union, and I'm willing to make that happen for you. I'm going to find the best credit union for you. He's welcome to join Excel, but if, you know, we can't meet his needs, I'm sure there's a credit union out there for him.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's a great story.
Right. To talk to people, like people want to engage with you. They want to know what's going on, and they want to really invest the time with you.
Indeed. And those are the people you want for sure. I liked your analogy or your description of the spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. Can you expand on that a little bit when you talk?
Sure. So, you know, even when you find those people who have a flame burning within them and they want to really be on fire for their credit union, sometimes you have barriers beyond your control.
Right.
Sometimes you just really have things that you need to work on, and that the credit union can help you with that. Mm-hmm. So for some people, you know, between the ages of 20 and 40, they have young children. You know, if you have late night meetings, you have to think about childcare. That's an added expense that may be out of your way. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you opt not to attend meetings because of that reason.
Right.
So one of the things I recommended is for credit unions, for other institutions, to really look into providing childcare, you know, some kind of child activity so that the parents can show up and be present and participate. You can get their opinion. They can ask questions. They can have face-to-face interaction. Mm-hmm. There can be some networking going on, some social dialogue present. But that is just one example of a barrier that some people may have that you may not realize, and that can be easily remedied.
Of course.
Additional service.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. Great example there. You also mentioned about it's not just about the generation. Can you expand
Absolutely.
On that as well? I thought that was a really poignant.
So there's a lot of discussion about the Gen X, you know, Gen Y, Gen Z, and, you know, the I generation, and, you know, put a name to it. It's like every couple of years we focus on a new generation and say that here are some issues with regards to getting them involved. But the reality is that, you know, from one generation to the next, there are issues with parenting, with childcare, there are issues with taking time off, there are issues with balancing your work and your life. So, you know, it's really not just about focusing on one particular generation. It's about acknowledging where are people and can we meet them where they are in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we meet their needs? Can we help them to get over? And can they, you know, be present for us where we want them to be?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And one last question for you. What did you learn from this set? Because there were a lot of speakers and then a lot of roundtable discussions and stuff. Was there one or two takeaways that you got from today's event?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The last speaker, Randy, he was he was phenomenal. He made some great points. And I love that he shared the story of there's a lot of discussion about there about how to be a leader. But a lot of it can be cookie cutter. A lot of it can be things that you feel like you need to ascribe to and just work within a certain framework. And he's really challenging people and encouraging people and using himself as an example to say, I went out the box. I did something different. I took a risk and it worked out for me and I'm willing to do that. And you should try that within your own life. And I think that's really important because a lot of times we have articles circulating, like the top 10 things you should do to be a leader, the top 5 reasons you should do this. And people want to, you know, conform their behavior to that, thinking that there's an automatic road to success, there's an automatic way you can ascribe to something higher. And he's really saying, really the way to do that is to take risks.
Yep.
Take risks, bet on yourself, invest in yourself, and believe in yourself, and things will happen for you. And yeah. So that was a great way to like wrap this up.
Yeah, I agree too. And the one word that stuck out for me from his presentation was have the audacity to do this. The audacity really stuck out for me. All right, cool. I'll let you get back to it. Thank you so much, Stacey.
Appreciate the time. I appreciate
it. Great
this.
Job. Thank Keep
you.
Up the good work, all
Thank
right?
Thank you so much.
Right, if I'm in New York, I'm going to give you a call, all
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Welcome anytime. Anyone. All right.